Okay, we're up to the Chav Vav Amar Aleph, the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, the Kulam and all of these cases that we had till now, the Chacham, remember we're talking about if we're suspicious that you have a motive, then we shouldn't go ahead with the wedding. We don't want people to substantiate that suspicion. The Kulam, if somebody brings a get, he shouldn't be the one marrying the woman, or the Chacham, who asks them, look, I can't help you. And she has to divorce from her husband because she made vows, can't marry her.
Don't forget, if he doesn't marry her,
someone else will marry her.
Or he marries somebody else or nobody at all, that can still perpetuate duruma.
Yeah, but then there's no grounds to it. This will feed it. We'll give it a lot of fuel. They call it Shahilem Noshim. They all had other wives. Umesu. Let's say at the time when these things happened, they had their own wife. They were happily married, and then they died. Mutados lenosilem, and after their wife dies, they can go ahead and finish and marry this woman here. The kulon and all of these women that, let's say, you test her, you gave her a get, and she married somebody else, and then that person died, and then she wants to marry you again. People are not going to speculate the rumors because she lives with another guy. If that guy wouldn't have died, she would have stayed married to the other guy. The kulon shenisu lache married others venizgash or divorced oishenis alman or widowed mutados lenosilem allowed to marry. The kulam mutados of name alachem. They're all allowed to marry their sons or their brothers. They're all allowed to marry the son or the brother of this rabbi who was who didn't let her, you know, mataneder or the guy who brought her to get. Think about it. Meisu in is gashalai. Sounds like only if his wife died, the shliach who brought the get. But if he divorced her, we're still suspicious. Maybe he divorced his wife in order to marry her. Even if he divorces his wife, the rumors, there's no longer any speculation, he could marry this woman. Like Kasha. If they already had a fight beforehand, so then this woman had nothing to do with it. So if he divorced her, he can marry her. If he had no fight with his wife, he's happily married. Suddenly now he gives a divorce, he helps give the woman a divorce, and 2 months later he divorces his own wife. People will say, this will fuel speculation. What he buys, the answer is, no fight, like Kasha. Hard to argue who, depends who initiated the divorce. If he initiated the divorce, then we're suspicious. Hard to argue if she initiated the divorce, then we're no longer suspicious.
No, not a single word mentioned about why people are talking.
It's a fact of life. The kulanshin nisu, nobody thinks right or wrong, just saying this is the Matthias. Because if they all got married, kasal kadata, if they married other people, and then the second time around, they were divorced, or they died. If the first husband died, and then the second one died as well, or the first one was divorced, second one was divorced. It seems to me that even though she was divorced twice, or two husbands died, still she's allowed to marry a third one. Let behold that if a woman was married to two husbands, they both died, an abnormal death, she's not allowed to get married again. She's a death wish. So too, if a person was divorced, according to the Gemara, if a woman was divorced twice, she cannot marry again because she has a habit of getting divorced. Twice is already enough to make a chazak. No. Misa agel shegeisha misa. You're right. According to Rebbe, if she was divorced twice or two husbands died, she should not get married again. Elizabeth Taylor should never get married again. She got married 5 times. But, what do you call it? But according to Gemara, it's 3 times. If you're married 3 times and 3 husbands die prematurely, not natural though, prematurely, don't get married again. 3 husbands divorced her, don't get married again. That's what Gemara seems to say here. But the Gemara will talk about much more later on. You're allowed to marry the son or the brother of the guy who brought the get, because why would he lie on behalf of somebody else, even though it's his relative? Mishnah, how is this different? Here you say, we learned elsewhere. Here you say, you're allowed to marry siblings. We learned elsewhere. Anita Manisha, if somebody's accused of having an affair with a married woman, also, he's not allowed to marry Ima, her mother, or Bita, her daughter, or Achaisa, her sister. Because we're scared that the woman that there's a rumor about affair will come and visit her mother or sister, and while they're there, you'll continue that affair. So we don't want family to get involved. So the modern big difference. That this woman that was affair is about will come visit her mother or sister, because women hang around women, and therefore there's a possibility that you'll have a affair, start up the affair again with her. Men don't go visit men. Women go visit women in their houses. You don't find men. You sit in shul and you talk and you don't go to people's houses. Exactly. Don't go. Yeah, we're not very friendly. You're social animals. So therefore, what's going to happen?
We might be animals.
Exactly. So therefore, we're not worried that the brother or the father is going to come hang around. This guy brought the gettle, hang around his brother's house and meet this woman, because men don't hang around men's houses. Women, let's say the daughter or the mother ends up marrying the guy that the rumor was about, and let's say this woman came here and she has an affair with this man, the man can still live with her husband, so the natural wife is not going to say anything. We don't trust her, because the wife says, look, as long as my husband, I don't care if my husband cheats on me, as long as he's allowed to live with me, I'm happy. So therefore, we put in these laws, we don't want the sister, whatever, to get married. But by men, that if a man, let's say, what do you call it? If my brother marries this woman, and I like her, and I want to have an affair with her, if it's found out, she's not allowed to live with either of us, so what do I gain? So then the other man will make a big deal out of it. Get out of my house, what are you doing with my wife? So if you live with my wife, I can no longer live with her. So therefore, we don't have to make it worry, because the men will be able to take care of it. Your father also should be mutter. Why and your brother? You're right. You don't have to mention it. If the buzz is b'nei, your son is embarrassed. The lay buzz of b'nei is not embarrassed. Hey, Malay, Kamasha, come to teach you. That's still all right. Hadna lo keitzesh lachiv. New paydik. Abos achin. There were four brothers. Shnayim, mehem, nesuyim, shtei achoyes. There were four brothers. Two of them, Chavav
and Alf. There's a safer app with all the
charts.
Have you seen them?
No.
Just sorry, bring it today. And it's at the back of.
Okay. Abo Achin, four brothers, Halkup. There were four brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Shnayim, Mehem, Nesuim, Shtei Achayis. Reuven and Shimon were married to, let's say, Rachel and Leah, two sisters. The Mesu, Hanesuim, Esachayis. So Reuven and Shimon died. Now these two sisters fall before Levi and Yehuda. Now, Levi cannot marry either one of those two sisters, because each sister is the sister of his kukka. Because both women are tied to Levi and both women are tied to Yehuda. You're not allowed to live with the sister of your wife. And the kukka is like a half-wife. So if you want to live with either sister, you're living with the sister of the other woman who is attached to you. So you cannot be midrabanan. You cannot do yivam. So what is left? Chalitza. But both women need chalitza because they came for two different husbands. So therefore, Adela Chayos, you have both sisters, you do chalitza, no yivam. What about the ikad movie concert? You decide to jump in and marry them. Yaitziyu, because you're marrying, it's like marrying the sister of your wife. It's like a half-wife. Rabbi Lezer, Bisham is actually more lenient than yivam. We had before by Tum as well. Bisham is more lenient than Hill. Shammai says, "No worry. If they did already, let them leave him be. But Salim, you see, the guy divorced. Rashi, Abu Achim, let me see. I've been talking about explaining from Zika because they're attached. Even the Vayzik Kikin Lahai Ulahai, they're both attached to both brothers. Kama Demi Yavim Poga Bachazikos. Whoever decides to get married to one of them, you're marrying the sister of your zikuk of like your wife. The Havikish like his wife says the Mishnah Baiti. But what happens? What happened to one of these women? There's two sisters. There were two women here. There were two sisters. But one of them is actually Asa. One of them is Asa to one of these brothers, Isa Erev. One of them is Asa brother, Isa Erev. For example, one of these women is your mother-in-law. Levi's mother-in-law. Levi's mother was Rachel. And then the father-in-law died. And then his brother married, Shimon married Levi's mother-in-law. So now this woman, even though it's a sister of Reuven's wife, has no shaykhis to Levi because it's an erva to you. So as far as Levi is concerned, he can marry now Reuven's wife because he's not marrying the sister of his zakuka. There's no zakuka here because there's no way he can marry Shimon's wife. It's his mother-in-law, ex-mother-in-law. So therefore, what happens? He's an erva, he's an erva. He's an erva. Osir boss, he's not allowed to live with her, obviously, because it's his ex-mother-in-law. But a mutabachais, and now he can marry the sister-in-law because it's not the sister of his cook. But Vashniya, the other brother, he's allowed to marry both women, so each one is the sister of his cook. Asa v'shtei, asa both of them. Rashi, Yisr erva kigei chamaisa ve'eim chamaisa's mother-in-law, his grandmother-in-law. Umutra b'achaisa, d'lav achais kuki, the erva lav kamei ram yaliv umi. The erva is not before him to miyabim. Says the Mishnah Vayter, what about it's only Yisr mitzvah? Ha'teire, you're allowed to marry this woman, Zomim Rabbani, you shouldn't marry. Or Isa Kedusha, says Matthew, you're allowed to marry Isa, even though Levi the Rabbanans cannot marry Shimon's wife, technically you could, so therefore each of these women are the sister of his kukka. Here also, we don't allow you to marry, just do chalitza. Rashi, The sister, she's the sister of one that's attached to you. What about if one sister was asa to Levi because his mother? And Reuven's wife is asa to Yehuda because it's also his mother. So Reuven's wife, which is also the Yehuda, is totally mutter to Levi because not the sister of his kuker, because Shimon's wife is also to him. This is what we once said before, that if a sister turns out to be, it's also your sister-in-law, let's say you have a choice. How is it a choice? Because even though it's a sister of a wife, if the other woman from the other man, from the other brother, is also to you, so then this sister, even though she's a sister of the other one, since you have no sheikhis to the other one because she's forbidden to you, you're allowed to marry this remaining sister. It's not achois kukasa. There's no zakuk here because it's forbidden to you. Rashi, achois yivemta achois shel erba. Kishi yivemta, your sister-in-law, eich zachi bailo, the wife of the brother of the husband. Kishi fellas, ima le yivem falls within the yibam. Oich, let's say, ebed, lav achois. Kosi yid erba, lav rami, kame, there's no erba there. Says the Gemara, Shmamen, it's clear from the Mishnah that we believe in the principle of Yezika. Remember we learned before whether there's an attachment automatically as soon as the brother dies, is the woman already attached? Clearly from the Mishnah, hey, we're learning that you cannot live with the two brothers, two different, even though they're sisters, but they're coming from two different wives. You're not allowed to marry. You don't even have a choice to marry either of them because each one is a sister of this kuka, of the other one who's attached to you. So we see that we believe in the concept of attaching. So what about those Amoraim who don't believe in Zika? Says the Gemara, Shmam Neluchari Zika. There's no Zika. Merdi, Hani, Mitre, Bati, because these two, even though they're sisters, they're coming from two different brothers. One's from Reuven and Shimon. Haile Yab Mechad, Haile Yab Mechad. Why can't Levi marry one of them and you marry another one? Each one is on their own. There's no Raya. Leile Mechad, I'll tell you, ain't Zika. If there's no Zika, what's the problem? The problem is we're worried. You're not allowed to cancel the mitzvah of Yibam. Let's say there's no Zika. Levi marries Shimon's wife, right? If Levi marries Shimon's wife, no problem. Yehuda will marry Reuven's wife. There's no Zika. And there's not a sister of a Zaka. There's no Zika. But what happens? Yehuda dies. And nothing happened yet to Reuven's wife. So now Reuven's wife falls to Levi. But now Levi can't do anything. He can't marry her because the sister of his wife. Because she actually married the sister. Nor can he give her chalitza because you just she's a sister of your wife. You don't give a chalitza to your wife either. There's no attachment. So she, 10 minutes ago, she needed something. And because you decided to jump in ahead, you canceled her home mitzvah. And we don't allow that to happen. That's why we don't want either brother to marry. I don't want to cancel the Dilma, why would he worry about Adam Yav? Mechad Maizi, one guy will get married, the other one will die. Ukum Avatl Mitzi, he'll cancel the Mitzi Yavamin. Rashi, yes, he can claim Chamur Zik, it's so strict. Lashavia, Achoiz, Kukosa Chazisha, to treat that as if she's your wife already, and if the other one is like a sister of your wife. That she's considered your wife already, the brother-in-law, even though you didn't marry yet, you already have the right to cancel her vows because you're already attached. Well, less a Kravis, and nor can you marry to any of her relatives. There is no attachment yet. We're picking the period before. If Ligabo's actually Machlek is Rav Huna, but Rav Yehuda. Mitre Bati Mishnei Achen of the two different brothers. Mayis Idach, we're worried that when Ophla came, they'll both fall before Levi, the high, but Nafka Mishnah Chazisha. Now she can no longer do anything to her because she's the sister of your wife. And therefore she'll be free, but Le Chalitza, not even Chalitza, or Yibum, Hirchli Farminlu, we say, Chalitza, we don't want you to turn or cancel out a mitzvah. So therefore we say, go give Chalitza, Dinam Mayis Idach, even the other one dies, Athlebach, you go back to Levi. Levi can give Chalitza to the sister of a Chalitza. There's no problem giving chalitza to a sister of a chalitza. No issue in that. It's an issue getting married. Or issue getting married to giving chalitza to the sister of your wife, but not to the sister of a chalitza. Says the Gemara, Ebazei, why are you saying that two surviving brothers, if the problem is canceling, then why are you saying that two surviving brothers, even three surviving brothers, even three surviving brothers, even though the three surviving brothers were scared that we don't want you to let either anyone marry, because what happens if Levi marries the wife of Reuven? There's still Yehuda and Yisachar alive. But what happens if you saw Yehuda and Yisachar both drop dead in a car accident, and then you have Reuven's wife that nothing happened to yet, and falls back to Levi, and Levi can't do anything. We don't want to cancel. So why limit it to a family of four brothers? Go on, go beyond that. Make a big five brothers. Maybe Loimaboy Tlasa the Vadlai Botla Mitzvah. Sorry. Not five brothers. Let's talk about a case of three brothers. if that three brothers, there's only one surviving brother. Talk about that. One surviving brother, he cannot marry either wife. There's no zikuka here. L'chayda, there's two women, Reuben's wife and Shimon's wife. The two sisters. If there's no zika, let Levi marry, let's say, Shimon's wife. There's no problem. He's not the sister of the other one who's attached to you. You have no attachment. And then and then tell us that you cannot do that because you can't sling out. What happens? You're taking away the chalitz or the yibam from Reuben's wife. Why talk about two surviving brothers? You know, the chiddush is obviously tell you that there's two surviving brothers. We still don't allow you because it's scared one of them will die. Plus, if there are only three and only one surviving brother, the bad that bottom is no question. You're going to count them as if I'm not allowed to. I will dalad lemisa lechashin kamash lomi. I worry. The gemara yochiv so. Next page, Chamisha Nami. So why, it's like a bigger Kiddush. Five brothers, three surviving brothers. Let's get two of them will die. The Trei Lechashin. Let me say the Trei Lechashin. As Gemara, we're make a gzeda that one brother might die prematurely. But to say that two brothers die prematurely, that's really going, that's stretching it. That far we're not going to go. Rashi, Chamisha Nami, top of the page. Shnayim Nesuyim Shnei Achoy. Two brothers married two sisters. V'meisu Hashnayim, they died. V'nishiru Hashloisha, there were three left. So and we won't allow any of them to marry any of the sisters, even though none of them are nobody attached. Because Dilma Adem Miyad Mechad, Meisel Lehutre. Maybe while one of them marries, the other two will die. U'batlet Mizivamen. You can't Mizivamen. So we answer, we don't go that far. Amar says Rav Ravuna. Says Rav, the son of Rav Huna, Amar Ravunu Gemara. It's the name of Rav. What happens if Sholosh Achoyes Yevamah? There were three sisters whose husbands died, and the two surviving brothers. So Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda and Yisachar. Reuben, Shimon, Levi died. Yehuda, Yisachar survived. And the Reuben, Shimon, Levi, all three married three sisters. So then Rachel, Leah, and Bilah. And now you have two brothers with three sisters. What are they going to do? What do you do now? Two brothers-in-law. So what happens is Yehuda zechayis lachas. Yehuda gives a chalitza to one of the sisters, to Reuben's wife, let's say. Zechayis lachas, and then Yisachar gives a chalitza to Shimon's wife, and now you have to Levi's wife alive. What do you do with Levi's wife? When it comes to Levi's wife, them tzoyitzichlidish name. Levi's wife needs a chalitza from Yisachar and Yehuda. Why? What's the svara? Why you need both? Dashi. And so he's claiming Shlish, the third one of Ladaf, cannot mean the middle. It means the third one, Tzichel, is Mishnein. Can the father of Azamar explain? Omar laid out back to the Gemara, says, Rabbi, Midikam, since you say, and so Yitzicha, Chalitza Mishnein, you're telling me that the last girl, the Levi's wife, needs Chalitza from Yehuda and Yisachar, there's only one possible explanation. Because you can hold the different levels that you can say the different levels of Chalitza. There's strong Chalitzas and weak Chalitzas. And a weak chalitza cannot exempt someone who needs a strong chalitza. What do you mean? Like this. You hold yesh zika. You hold that all three women are tied to you. So Reuben, Shimon, Levi's wife are all tied to Yehuda and Yisachar. And because they're all tied to you, when Reuben gave a chalitza to... When Yehuda gave a chalitza to Yehuda's wife, he's giving a chalitza to the achois of his wife. Achois kukase. Because other two women are attached to him. But a skuka is not as strong as a wife, so it's a lower level. So you're giving a chalitza to a chay skukase. Okay, it's a chalitza, but it's not a strong chalitza. The havel is considered a chalitza psula, like a weak chalitza. And a chalitza psula, so therefore by the time you get to the third sister now is now, the first sister is a chay skuka. Okay, the second sister is a chay skuka. The third sister now, for either Yehuda, if Yehuda wants to give a chalitza to the third sister, but he already gave a chalitza to her sister. You want to go to Yisachar, he already gave us a chalitza to the sister. She is now the sister, not just of a zukuka, of a theoretical attachment. She is a sister of a chalitza. Sister of a chalitza is like the sister of a woman that you gave a divorce. It's a much stronger relation to you. And a chalitza is a very weak chalitza. You need both surviving brothers to give the chalitza to cut. Because it's such a weak chalitza, you need to give every possibility. That's what it means, weak. Everything is wrong. Emtsoy doesn't mean middle, it means a third. Emtsula doesn't mean, Psula means weak. You're right. Okay, Rashi explains this. You say tzicha chalitza mishneiim. Now you're saying that what? That Levi's wife needs chalitza from Yehuda and Yisachar. Kesavah, you hold alima mitzvah zikas yevamin. That there's a mitzvah that you're attached. The mirma tavayu. That what? That to throw on both women. Baha chalitza al kol chalitza psuli. He said this chalitza is a weak chalitza. Why? Klemet. Gruya weak. What makes a weak chalitza? A strong chalitza is if I have a choice, I can marry you or give you a chalitza. And I decide you a chalitza, it's a strong chalitza. If I have no choice, you don't let me marry her, the Torah doesn't let me, or the Rabbon let me marry her, then not only bereis chalitza, that's called a weak chalitza. Now, the two sisters are attached to you, since you're not allowed to marry either one. It's not a question, I can marry them, I can't marry either one, because I'm marrying the sister one I'm attached to, so therefore I'm giving a weak chalitza. I cannot marry if I want to. It's not a good chalitza. And you have to what? You have to then go back. That's why the third sister needs a chalitza from Yehuda and Yisachar, from both the surviving brothers. When Reuven gave a chalitza, when Yehuda gave a chalitza to Reuven's wife, it was a weak chalitza. It didn't count for any of the other sisters. Because the chalitza was only, because I had no choice, I had to give a chalitza, it's a weak chalitza. So the chalitza was limited to the girl I gave it to. So Yehuda gave a chalitza to Reuven's wife, only counted for Reuven's wife. The chodesh and the limazik of Rami Tavayu. So therefore, by giving a chalitza, does not in any way take away. Give me chalitza, not anyway, take away the attachment that Shimon's wife had or Levi's wife had with other two brothers. So now you have Levi's wife still attached to who? Side to Yehuda and side to Yisachar. She's attached to both of them. And she is the sister of a chalutza. Therefore, they both have to give him a thing to get rid of her. Says the Gemara, Yehoch, if so, if that's the word. If it's a weak chalitza, Yehoch, kamaisanami. So why you tell me only the third sister needs a chalitza from both of them? Then even the first two sisters, Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife, also should need a chalitza from both of them. Because when you give a chalitza to Reuven's wife, it's a weak chalitza. It's not a strong chalitza, it's a weak chalitza because you have no choice. Since you have no choice, you don't have the strength then to cancel her attachment to Yisachar. When Yehuda gave Reuven's wife a chalitza, it's a weak chalitza because he couldn't marry her. So all the thing, the only bread he had was chalitza. So Reuven's wife is still attached to Yisachar as well. Because you giving a chalitza didn't completely free her. Or release her because you're giving her a weak chalitza. So why you tell me the third wife is the only one that has to get a chalitza from both of them to release her completely? And what about Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife? The first two, same problem. That when Yehuda gave Reuven's wife a chalitza, it's not a valid chalitza. It's a 50% chalitza because you didn't have a choice to marry her. So when you gave her a chalitza, it was a weak chalitza. So why doesn't the halacha say that the Reuven's wife needs to get a chalitza also from Yisachar in order to be completely released? She needs to get from every anybody who still has a small attachment to her, release her. So it's more like this. Eden of Vasachanam, you're right. If Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife both became available at the same time, both the husband died, then each one's the achoitz kukasei. You're right. The chalitza would have been weak, and they would have to get a chalitza from everybody alive. But this is what happened.
No, but that's
what the Torah says. You can't marry. We live from a special pasuk that sometimes you start doing chalitza. Sometimes you don't. Erva you don't. But if it's another thing like a sister of a zakut, you do. So the Gemara, Hachinam, you're right. That she would have to get chalitza from both of them. You know what happened? Letzricha de nafal bazu achazu. They died in succession. Nafal chada Reuven died first. So his wife became available. She's not a sister of anybody's zakuka. So Yehuda gave her, released her, totally released. Chalz Reuven. Then nafal idach. Then, so then what happened? Okay, we can use different names. The other wife became available, the Chalas Shimon. So when they received Chalitza, at that time, each brother had a choice to marry them because it was not a choice of a skuka because the other sister was still happily married with one of the brothers. Chalas La. Chalas La gave a Chalitza. So now, but the third sister is a problem because she's the sister of a Chalitza and neither surviving brothers allowed to marry her. And because neither surviving brothers allowed to marry her, they have no choice but to give chalitza. It's a weak chalitza. Therefore, both surviving brothers have to give and release her. Hai mafka zikasi, cholos la hai mafka zikasi. So each one, when they give chalitza, all they do is they cancel her relationship with her, but they don't have the power to completely release her from the attachment to the other brother. That's why you gotta get from both. Okay, Rashi. Both brothers died. After this one. Nafla Chada Chaz Leruven. Chalitzik Shei Ra'il Gucci. Miratzi Yochli. He had a choice. He could have married her because only no other brother died yet. Nafla Ida Chaz Shimon. Then Shimon gave Chalitzik other one. Amzuk Shei Kasha Shimon. Miratzi. If he wanted to marry him, could marry her. But ain't kana Chayis Kuka. At the time, she's not the sister of who one's attached to, because the other one is married. Or in this case, the first one was ready to release. She's a chalitz, she's free, she's gone. She got chalitz, achoisa, you already released her, kaidim the filizu before the second one became available to you. But nafla shlishi, when the third one died, she's now the sister of a chalitz for either surviving husband. Therefore, you boil, yavumi lemotzi, you no longer can marry her, achois chalitz shneimi, she is the sister of a chalitz of both surviving brothers. Over like klum, on the other hand, to let it just go like that. Nami loy nafki kan da chayis chalutza ain't el libra seifim lekam b'chayli. The sister chalutza is only midrabanan. So if you can't say, but my teira she still is allowed to get married because she's not really the sister of the sister, not the of a wife or something. It's the sister of a chalutza, and the whole thing is rabbanan. My teira she's still attached. Therefore, we need to release her. But how? Hilcha and the chalitza that each brother gives only releases her from me, not from my brother. It's a weak chalitza. I can't release from that. Hilcha chalitza, high chalitza called you. V'lad ma'alik's not good. She'im chafes layavim can't give a yibim. Miu chalitzase v'zikase shavus shtein legroya. However, the chalitza and the zika are both equal. Legroya upaka zikase b'chalitzase. They're both equal. They're both weak. The only thing, when I give chalitza, when the surviving brother gives chalitza to the woman, the only thing that he can do is release her from me. But I don't have the capacity to release you also from my brother, because I'm giving you a very weak chalitza, because I don't have the choice to marry or not to marry. So I have no choice. I don't give chalitza, therefore you're not released. Yeah.
In any case, she couldn't release her. He could release from the brother.
He could. If let's say I could have a husband, Reuben dies, three brothers, Reuben Shmuelegi, Reuben dies, there's a woman there. So if either brother gives a chalitza, she's totally free. Because I have a choice to marry or not to marry her. So if I give a chalitza, but she's totally released. Here, because the brother had no choice to marry her, he has no breda, so it's a weak chalitza. When I give a chalitza, I released her from connection to me. I don't have the power to release her connection to my brother. Says the Gemara, but I'm not happy. Back to the Gemara, Rav is the one who holds ain zika. This whole thing is talking about based on only if you hold zika. If there's no zika, there's no attachment, there's no problem at all. So Gemara said, why is Rav saying this? And we're answering right. But the divrei oyma yezika kamar. He's talking those who hold yezika. This is what how it play out. Rashi marav yezika bepedigetz marav huna marav shemer zayim shemeisim mutez. If you're waiting, Reuven's wife dies and Shimon has to marry her, and Shimon decides to marry her mother first. Technically, it's a good marriage because it's not said the mother of your relationship, because they hold ain zika. There's no relationship yet until you finish your marriage. If you hold yezika, you're already related. You can't marry your mother. Says the Gemara, okay. Shmuel says, "Echad chaylis lekulam." Sounds like Shmuel says that no, that the two surviving brothers, one of them can give her a chalitza, and that's it. She's free. In other words, he holds such a thing as zika or not, and therefore he says that one brother can completely release her, and she's free from the other brother. You don't have to have both brothers. I understand. Mechti.
Shamin le should go for the stronger one.
Yeah, but the question is, there are five brothers, three of them married three sisters. So Yisachar, Yehuda gave a release to Reuben's wife. Yehuda released Shimon's wife. Now we have Levi's surviving wife. Levi's surviving wife, neither Yehuda nor Yisachar can marry her because she's the sister of a chalutza. So each one's giving a wee chalutza. Why would Shmuel hold that the most questions I don't understand? Why would Shmuel hold that Yehuda or Yisachar gives a chalutza, she's free? Shmuel agrees with this principle that where there's a weak chalutza, it doesn't release her completely. That's the most question. I don't understand. Mechdi, I don't understand. Shemini le Shmuel, we know that Shmuel also agrees on a chalitza ma'al yabin, and you need a strong chalitza. How do I know? Dama Shmuel. Shmuel clearly said, cholatz la choyez le niftiru tzaris. What's the case over there? If you were two sisters, that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon died. They were married to sisters. Now they fell before Levi, but Reuven had two wives, and Shimon had two wives. And now Levi, the surviving brother, so he has two sisters, and he cannot marry either one of them because each one is the achois kukase. So he can't marry either one. If he gave a chalitza to these sisters, it's a weak chalitza, because if he wanted to marry the sisters, could he have married any of the sisters? He cannot marry the sister of Yizakuk. So it's a weak chalitza. So if he gives a chalitza to the sisters, it doesn't set free the other wife, the co-wife, because you need a strong chalitza to release not only my connection to you, but also the other woman, any other. But if in the case where it's a weak chalitza, like over here, it doesn't work for the other wife. That's what Shmuel says. So Shmuel agrees with the principle of a weak chalitza. And what's a weak chalitza? Where I have no choice. So he says, Gemara, Rashi. Your has another wife. If you gave chalitza to the sisters, the co-wives are not exempt. I can't have no bread. I can't marry. Ideally, what you should do is give a chalitza to the tzaris. If you give a chalitza to the co-wife, that's a, if you had a, you had a choice, you could have married them. So if I give a chalitza, it's a very strong release. And if I give them a strong release, they're totally potter. The yiftur achoyes and they're potter. Then the sisters will be released because a strong chalitza completely removes any shackles from any of the women there. But Afa gav the tzaddas nami, even though the tzaddas also we don't want you to marry. Ihavi boy lavi miyavim, we don't want you to marry the tzaddas either because they're the tzara of a woman that you shouldn't marry. And we learned before that the co-wife of a woman shouldn't marry, you shouldn't also marry, but that's a step lower already. The main one is the sisters. That's the main issue. And the step lower than that is the co-wife of the sisters.
Although it's a step lower, you still can't.
True, but it's a stronger chalitza. Every step, even though you're also not allowed to marry her, but it's a weaker, it's like more of a gzeda. So therefore, it's technically, I could give her chalitza. Technically, I could have married her, even though we don't want you to marry her. So therefore, the chalitza is stronger and would release the sisters. Miu kal isurim is a much weaker isur than our achoy sisters. Here, therefore, av chalitzasam nam nachmer. We're talking about they all fell before Levi. They all fell before Levi. Matoida, you can't marry. But each one is the sister of Yizakuk. That's a strong isur. The co-wife is the co-wife of the sister of Yizakuk. That's very much weaker. So better give them chalitza, and that would release everybody. Av chalitzasam mishabach is the chalitza much better. Mishalachay sisters. What will I more explain? He says the Gemara, Heicha de Kaima Chalitza de Shimon, Chalitza Ksheda, where Shimon gave a proper Chalitza. Let's say Shimon gave a Chalitza to the second wife. He didn't give a Chalitza to the first wife, he gave a Chalitza to the sister. And then, Cholot la Reuven Chalitza Psula. Then Reuven go ahead and give a weak Chalitza. Actually, we'll stop right there and continue tomorrow.